This is sex.
Everyone gets what they want.
This is sexploration.
Explore. Play.
This is Sexploration with Monica.
Sex is proof that God loves us and wants us to have fun.
Sexploration with Monica on FCCFreeRadio.com. We're here at the Bondage Dinner.
It's Sexploration with Monica. Good evening. It's Friday night in San Francisco. Time for some bondage, huh? Okay. So here's how we make it safe and fun. Everyone says yes, right? I think that's really important. And I am all about finding out why people do what they do. You know, what makes them hot? What makes them say yes? You know, how do they stay safe? And it's when it gets really interesting is when we start really doing some stuff that I think maybe normal people, and I'm using finger quotes when I say normal because I think there's a lot of flavor of different good stuff in the world. And, you know, this is for the stuff that, you know, hasn't been so popular with churches and governments over the last 200 years. So here we are at the Supper Club and really letting our freak flag fly. And fabulously, too, I must say. We were doing a four-course dinner with flogging and arugula and beets that have gone through a little melon baller so they're all perfectly and small, but very nutritious and delicious as beets are, and duck breast with potato chestnut puree and pear and cranberries and almond tulle on the dessert. It's going to be just a very tasty, classy, fun evening. As it always is with the Supper Club Bondage Dinner, I must say, it's true. And you'll hear in the background, Rusky is being flogged. She's tied now, spread eagle, to the stairway, and tomfoolery is flogging her. And people are starting to sit down, and, you know, people are getting their glasses of wine and their champagne. Champagne is important in these situations because we're celebrating the fact that we can be our authentic selves. We can say yes, we can say no. We're going to establish a socially appropriate makeout zone here at the Supper Club later, which means it's totally okay to make out. You do not have to get a room. I love my job. Okay, so we're going to hear from Tomfoolery. He's going to talk about, you know, good bondage rigging and bad bondage rigging. We're going to talk to Rusky, find out why she likes getting beaten up a little bit and tussled, and why she likes pain and what kind of pain she likes, and, you know, maybe what kind of pain she doesn't like. That's possible, right? And the submissive is actually the one in control, so we're going to talk to her too, find out more about BDSM, bondage, domination, and sadomasochism. Also, Jack Hammer is here. He's done a lot of work for kink.com. He's like a bondage porn star, basically, and also a Marine, and really the really big shoulders. I'm just saying, really big ones. He's going to get tied up tonight by the beautiful and very buxom and blonde Rain de Grey, who's also a porn star from kink.com. And Jack actually lives at Kink Manor, which is like a 24/7 beautiful mansion up in the Marin Hills. We're going to find out what it's like to live at Kink Manor and do BDSM 24/7. Also, Lady Monster is here, who does a really fabulous act with fire tassels. You know, like fire helicopters off the nipples sort of thing, like brrr, really exciting. And she does a lot of stuff with body image and activism. So she's all about, you know, letting your sexy freak flag fly, whatever it is you look like. We also have Excelsis Remington here. She's a marriage and family therapist, and she has a lot of experience working with outsider sexualities, we should say. You know, people who are queer or polyamorous or kinky. We also have Lord Michael here. Stephen Jacobson is our photographer. He specializes in kink photography. We'll talk to him later. It's going to be a good show. Thanks for joining us. I appreciate you listening to Sexploration with Monica. I do. And come to the bondage dinners if you can. It's really fun. I mean, nowhere can you get a meal this fancy and nice and delicious. And, you know, get to make out in bed while they bring it to you. The beautiful servers here at Supper Club. Oh, we're going to talk to Miss V later. She's the host, has been doing the Supper Club bondage dinners for a year now. Oh, and listen to this salad. Sunburst squash, autumn leaves, arugula, mission fig, pomegranate, red beet, walnut, and goat cheese. It's not often that you can get a salad like that with your bondage. That's what makes San Francisco so special. That's what makes Supper Club so special. Welcome. This is Sexploration with Monica. The ropes are just coming off Miss Rusty. Tomfoolery is now untying her after having flogged her for, I would say, a good 5-10 minutes. Did you see any of the flogging, dear?
I did see a bit of the flogging. It was lovely.
It was lovely, wasn't it? And I was like, oh, he's flogging her right in the crotch.
Indeed. Legs in the air.
I think it's important, you know, to give the good spots every now and then a little attention. And she apparently really likes flogging.
Agreed. Sweet spots, as they call it.
Indeed. Indeed. So, you're a therapist, and you kind of specialize in freaks. People who are polyamorous, people who are queer, people who have, you know, non-normative sexualities, people who are into kink, whatever. And I would imagine that without the ground rules of heterosexuality and monogamy and, you know, all of those understood rules that we make about relationships, you know, you can only have sex with me, you can only love me, you can only have my babies, et cetera, that when you're in a relationship that's outside of normal, you can have a lot of new problems, you know? Like, maybe there's a bigger chance for jealousy. You know, you definitely have to be more conscious of STIs and people's feelings, because maybe people get jealous. So, when someone's in a relationship and they want to bring more of their authentic self to the table, what are some of the first steps that they can keep in mind when they're trying to open up their relationship to freaky stuff?
Well, as you pointed out, because it's a new arena, it's very important to communicate clearly with your partner. Because as we all know, even in, you know, quote-unquote normal relationships, there's plenty of room for miscommunication and misunderstandings and unhappiness. So anytime that you're kind of deviating from the norm, as it were, it's that much more important to be sure that you communicate clearly. So that would be the number one thing, is to be sure that, you know, try and think about your own boundaries and indeed what you want. You know, what it is that you're kind of seeking from this relationship, and try and be as straightforward with your partner as possible and have a very kind of open exchange, ideally with setting some boundaries and ground rules before anything.
Before you start making out with a stranger on the dance floor.
Yes, before anything controversial takes place.
Before you take them to a sex party with a blindfold on. Look, honey, we're at a sex party. Hooray!
Yes, you should definitely.
That man over there is being flogged.
You should definitely communicate about what your boundaries are, because indeed, when you go to a lot of unexpected situations occur, just as they do in, you know, real life. So it is important to talk about things like, for instance, what your limits are with other people. You know, is it okay if you're going to a public space, say a bondage party, and for someone else to come up and, you know, touch you, and if so, where and for how long and in what, you know, all of those kinds of.
Would it be okay if we had oral sex with with someone else? Is it okay if I have, you know, is butt sex okay? Is vag sex okay? What kind of sex is really sex? And what is, you know, and what's going to make your partner feel jealous? Like, ask them.
Yes.
What's going to freak you out?
Revolutionary, yes. Yeah. Just ask them. But I mean, fundamentally, it's funny because that's one of the hardest things about it, I think, is that a lot of people already have issues with that in their relationship because it's hard to do. It's hard. It makes you feel very vulnerable to put it out there that, hey, I have this fantasy that I'd kind of like to be gangbanged, or I just, for that matter, like, it doesn't have to be that extreme, actually. I mean, we're kind of talking about it in the context of extremes, but it could very well be just wanting to go out and be an object of public desire, you know, just wanting that feeling of all the eyes on you, you know, like...
So you want to wear a red dress or something?
Yeah, I mean, just exhibitionism, and... discussing those beforehand is the absolute best way to prevent any further problems.
So when you're going to open up your relationship to other partners, like polyamory, I think one of the big things is time. Like, I feel like my... Hello, Miss V.
Hi, baby. How are you?
Fabulous. You look ravishing.
You look gorgeous, too, babe. Your makeup looks great. You did a good job.
Oh, stop.
Oh, you stop it. So I'm getting ready to get on the mic. You almost ready?
Yeah, whenever you are.
Gorgeous. I'll see you in a second. Mwah.
So we should probably wrap it up a little bit, but I just wanted to talk a little bit about polyamory and time. Like, how do you make your partner feel like you're spending enough time with them when you're out shtipping other people?
Well, you bring up a very good point that honestly the number one issue with polyamory is time, because love is not finite. You can love lots of people, but there's only so much time. So issues like, well, who are you spending Christmas with? Who gets weekends? You know, who gets important occasions, major parties, New Year's Eve? That's a big issue. And as far as regulating that time, again, it's a question of discussing with your partner what your boundaries are. And for many people, it works to have limits, like everything from it's all right for you to have other relationships or other sexual adventures, say when you're out of town, or you can have them with people that I don't know, like that aren't part of our social circle. There are a variety of kind of steps in between, everything from it's only all right when you're on the other side of the country to...
And don't ask, don't tell kinds of relationships. Although that should be explicit. Like, you should actually say we have a don't ask, don't tell, right? Instead of just doing it.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, just doing it is cheating. Having a discussion about it beforehand and saying, okay, we have this explicit agreement that it's all right for me when I say I travel a lot for business, that it's all right.
The 100-mile rule?
Yes, the 100-mile rule, exactly. You know, if you have that kind of agreement, then great. But making it explicit is the number one thing. Otherwise, you do...
Someone could feel betrayed.
Yes, you end up with resentment, betrayal, confusion.
Trust issues.
Yes, all of the many things that occur. It's basically sort of normal relationship, but amplified.
Right.
You know.
Right. And when it goes horribly wrong, it goes horrible. Like, it's a big snarling hornet's nest of pain and betrayal and distrust. But when it's going good, you have 7 people who are madly in love with you and they're all hot. And maybe you could get them in a hot tub at the same time.
Oh, such ambition. Yes.
Well, girls gotta have goals, you know.
It is possible. It definitely is possible. But it's something that it's important. Take it slow in the beginning. You know, I mean, have a conversation with your partner and maybe start slow, just like with anything else. If you're new to it, especially if your partner is new to it, it's always better to defer to the more inexperienced person and what their comfort level is. So start there.
Yeah.
And, you know, baby steps. If you're interested in bondage, try taking your, you know, new partner to just a bondage show like this and kind of discuss with them afterwards. How did you feel about that?
Right.
You know, did that freak you out? Was that sexy for you? How do you feel about that? You know, just a slow introduction, just like anything else. You wouldn't kind of dump someone in a bath of ice water, right? Like, it's a slow...
And grab Julie and an ice cube at a time until they're like, no, I think that actually feels good. You're like, yes.
Yes, ice cubes can be quite a lot of fun.
They can be. Although you have to be careful. You don't accidentally want to lose one anywhere because that's very cold.
It can be very cold. So, yes, there are lots of interesting things one can do with ice cubes that are, they're actually a favorite thing because they're very intense but very low impact, and there's virtually no possibility of harm.
Right.
but very high intensity. So,
cleverness.
Yes, it's quite nice. On the other hand, you know, they are slippery, so, you know, if you're putting them somewhere sensitive, they might disappear. Again, be careful, you know, don't start someone off too quickly or they might never be up for it again.
See, that happened to me when I was young, and so I'm like, ooh, ice cubes are cold.
Oh, trauma.
It's okay, hold me.
We'll talk after the show.
Okay, good. Yes, and our salad is here, and it looks lovely. They worked very hard making those beets all melon ball sized.
They did. I can see they're half moon shaped.
Indeed. And there's walnut and pomegranate and mission fig and arugula.
Mm. Figs. There's nothing quite so sexy as a fig, in my opinion.
Yeah, the Supper Club does a really good job of making the food sensual and weird and, you know, interesting combination. Something may come out in a dog bowl.
Yes, exploratory.
Indeed. Well, thank you so much for chatting with us. It's been a pleasure. Thanks for coming to the Supper Club Bondage Dinner. And you look fabulous. Oh, my God.
Thank you.
Okay. This is Sexploration with Monica. Wow, what is she doing? Oh, she's kicking him with her shoe. I'm not sure. Pumping his foot, rubbing it on her crotch. Interesting. We'll have to monitor this situation. This situation needs monitoring.
Yes. Think I better dance now. Think I better dance now.
Enjoying a beautiful sound. How was getting tied to the staircase? I noticed that you were like bent over, like almost doing like a yoga, the half wheel position.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was my first time being tied from both sides. So if you, I don't know if it was obvious, but there was tension both kind of from the front and the back. So that was a lot of fun.
So your arms and your ankles, or?
I mean like in front of my stomach and then behind my stomach. So usually you get pressure from one point because you're hanging off. So usually like it's a lot of pressure on your back if you're facing up, or a lot of pressure on your stomach if you're facing down. But this way it was on both sides, which was really nice because I like feeling squished.
Right.
Yes.
Kind of like a rope hug.
Yes.
Only also pulling.
Yes. So that was really fun. And then I got to swing my legs up and yeah, it's always fun.
And how is being flogged in the crotch?
Also a lot of fun, and he got some, you know, underneath my ass, and he got a little bit on my thighs, and it was awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
It looked really fun, but also like, ooh, I wonder if that hurts, and then maybe it feels good, and like, what does flogging feel like for someone that's never been flogged before?
So there's stingy flogging, and there's thuddy flogging. I'm a fan of thuddy. So stingy is kind of like what people usually probably think of when it really stings at the end. And floggy is, or not floggy.
Thuddy.
Thuddy.
Still like
a little
thud,
bit,
thud,
yeah.
Thud.
It's really thick. It's really heavy. That was a little bit stingy, so it left a little sting at the end. So it's an initial pain, but also it lasts. And when it's thuddy, it's just really heavy, which I like better with the squishing and the heaviness. And
right.
Like the breath, taking the breath out of you kind of more.
Huh. It takes the breath out of you?
A little bit, especially if it's done on your back. You know, like, it's like if you're hit really hard in the back, you kind of lose your breath, right? Or your chest.
Right.
Yeah.
And so this was a smaller strips of leather on the flogger, which would mean that that's what made it stingy?
Yeah, part of that. It also depends on how heavy it is, what kind of material, and also how the top hits. So you can hit kind of, you know, quick. And that'll make it really stingy if you get the ends. If the ends are cut in, you know, kind of a diagonal or a point, then it's going to be a lot stingier. If they hit really heavy and they hit with the whole flogger instead of just the ends, then that'll be a lot thuddier. Yeah.
And so you like Buddy, but some other people like Stingy.
Yeah. Stingy, I think, is the more popular way. It's how you first learn. It's a lot harder to do Buddy. Because, you know, when you kind of just throw it, you kind of get the ends a lot. The ends wrap, maybe.
Yeah, because it kind of whips around and then kind of catches you on the back little switch. It's like a towel, you know, when someone slaps you with a towel.
Totally, just like that. But with a lot of little towels.
Fabulous. Okay, so let's talk about what is happening to that man up there. Oh, those are eggs. I think she's throwing eggs on him.
Raw eggs.
Whoa. Oh, ew. And now some Red Bull.
Oh, yeah. Delicious.
So he's wearing a lot of duct tape, and she is kind of pouring things on him and making a gigantic mess. And they're sort of, she's squishing him and squirting stuff on him and now sitting on him and riding him like a camel. And sort of, there's a little, she's now grinding in all the eggs in Red Bull, and I'm sure that'll be nice to have a shower afterwards.
Probably.
Pardon?
She's enjoying herself.
She is. Oh, hilarious. And, you know, people, we'll have to put a sign, you know, the floor is wet, sort of.
A little bit.
Yeah. This is the Supper Club Bondage Dinner. Yes?
She hogtied him with tape.
Oh, wow. Oh, with duct tape.
Duct tape, hogtie, yeah.
Wow.
Very classy.
The hog tying is classy? Or with the duct tape is classy?
Yes, that.
Well, they do call it Dom Depot, you know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Home Depot, Dom Depot, right?
Yeah, definitely.
The bondage aisle at Dom Depot.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Oh, and now she's dragging him off stage. Bye. Lugging him off.
Good. Face down.
Oh, face down?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh. And he's very... Wow, he's just laying there, too. He's just taking it.
Wait, is that Gumby? Okay.
Yeah, Gumby is like a professional with a real life and, you know, is in the closet in his real life and then at the bondage dinner is wearing a gift suit and just suffering and enjoying that. It's very interesting to talk about why he enjoys suffering.
Very cool.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Indeed. Well, thanks for chatting with us, Rusky. I'll let you enjoy your salad. Oh, the bondage dinner. So, right now I have a skewer of shrimp. Louisiana shrimp, grilled corn, tomato, cilantro, chili, crab, and lemon foam. You get that? Lemon foam. And we're about ready to send on Lady Monster, and she's gonna thrill us. I can't tell you too much about the surprise because I don't want to ruin it for the people that are already here. But it's going to be fabulous and on fire and like little miniature helicopters of fire. I like a helicopter of fire every now and then, you know. Can we not get a helicopter of fire? Yes, we can. We're going to talk with Jack Hammer later about what it's like to live in Kink Manor. Lord Michael is here. He's the owner and protector of a woman who does slut training, Miss Molly Bottom. So, lots of exciting stuff. Lady Monster is about to go on. Thanks for listening to Sexploration with Monica. So we just had Lady Monster of the Flaming Fire Tassels literally like lit her little pasties on fire and like whirled them around like a flaming helicopter. It's really nice. And right now, we've got the Louisiana shrimp cocktail with grilled corn and tomato and cilantro and chili and crab and lemon foam. Nice. It's really nice. And Rusky told me that I can tell her what to do. So I was like, give me a fork, hottie. It was awesome. So that was good for you, dear?
Yes.
Feeding me a fork?
Yes, I like you, so.
Yay. Good. So now, I have someone that will fetch me things. Very good. Very good. My plan is working perfectly. So I want to know what your plan is. What is your plan? you like kinky stuff? Do you want to learn more about tantra? Do you want to learn more about female ejaculation or multiple male orgasms? Or do you want to learn more about how to say no to what you don't want? Or what in the world do you want? Right? Like, there's a lot of big questions in sexuality. And I think the biggest one is, how do you get what you want? Oh, and it's a lot of bouteille. Yay. Amen, sister.
Shadows are falling out of the sky. Another night, and these blue blues got me down.
Ooh, look, this is good.
Eat it, girl.
Misery, I sure could use some company. Now since you've been gone, I ain't been the same.
A lot of bouteille is wearing this amazing mermaid dress. And when she sat on my lap just now, it got caught under my chair. We're lucky she didn't lose her dress too soon. Goodies in store for us. This is the Supper Club Bondage Dinner. Thanks for listening to Sexploration with Monica. I'm sorry, you turned down the Howard Stern show?
Yes.
Why?
It's not the kind of image that we're trying to portray.
You mean the boobs exactly. image.
Exactly.
And I'm going to watch you jump up and down on my trampoline sort of image.
Yes, exactly. It's just not really the image we want to portray. A lot of the times people, when it comes to sexuality, want to point their fingers and laugh. And although being playful is fun, it's really, there's other aspects to it that I think are really important.
Like respect and mutual satisfaction, for instance.
Yeah, sensuality and intimacy, which is just as fun. And don't get me wrong, I love, like, I watch Girls Gone Wild every once in a while. Like, you know what I mean? I just, for what we're trying to do, it's just not appropriate. I mean, we'd probably do like The View, you know, or maybe even, I mean, Oprah or something like that.
Oh God, I would love it if Oprah did a segment on sex work. That would be awesome.
I think it would be amazing, actually. And I think it would be really, I think she'd be really receptive, depending on how it was presented, like the context. So, yeah.
Exciting. Well, if you turn down Howard Stern and you then come on Sexploration with Monica, that's pretty awesome. I'll say yes to that. Thank you so much for coming on Sexploration with Monica.
Thank you.
So we're here talking with Donya and Tessa, and they have a really interesting idea for a business. I don't even know if anyone is doing this right now. It feels like this is kind of a new thing.
We're pioneers. We're pioneers.
Fantastic. And where did you get this idea?
I've been working professionally with women in the erotic service industry for the last 7 years, helping them run a business like it's a business.
It is a business.
And so I work with a really wonderful author named Barbara Corellis.
I know Barbara.
And we developed her book, Urban Tantra, into a professional training for erotic service professionals. And there I met Tessa and another woman named Luna, because I taught the business track. And about a month and a half ago, I got calls from each of them independently saying, we really love that idea, that dream, and let's make it bigger. And let's make it more integrative. And so it also includes not only business, but education and holistic services as well. It's really exciting. And so that happened about a month and a half ago. And we just spent the last couple of days workshopping, retreating, coming up with the business plan. And we have a lot of support from a lot of really amazing people in the community. Annie Sprinkle, Minax.
Eve Minax, professional domino.
Yes, I love Eve Minax. And Annie Sprinkle, who's fantastic.
Yeah, Annie's great too.
And it feels like we're doing the right thing, because it's just happened so naturally. And yeah, so I'm here working with these guys. I'll be teaching a class tomorrow on success, sustainability, and safety as a sex professional. So that's really exciting. We have a really good group of people. So yeah.
Cool. So right now, I guess the early name is ProSource Network, right?
No. It's Your ProSource. There's not to be confused, there's actually another, in New York City, where I'm from, there's another type of, grassroots organization called ProSource Network, which is slightly different from where we're coming from, because theirs is more of theirs comes from more of like an activist outreach perspective, where they're kind of putting a bunch of resources together, like the Desiree Alliance, SWAP, SWANK, a lot of like the...
What's SWAP and SWANK?
SWAP and SWANK are like, they address...
issues specific to sex workers?
Yeah, but it's like a harm reduction approach.
And they
work with sex workers regardless of the situation for why they're in sex work.
They could be doing it for survival sex, or they could be high-end.
Or coercive. They could have been coerced into it. So they deal with, they offer kind of health and legal resources.
So like big-time intervention.
Exactly. And we're different. We're different because a lot of the women that we work with, in fact, all of the women that we work with, have made a conscious choice to be in the work. They've been called to the work. And it's a little bit different to be called to the work. It's like somebody
wanting to be a doctor when you grow up or wanting to be a fireman. And they grew up and they're like, what I really want to do is sex, is sensuality work, erotic work. And so we step in and we are like their mascot. We are like their cheerleaders, like, yes, this is great. This is relevant work and we want to support you in it. And that's what your pro source is about providing business advocacy and educational services for continuing education or different modalities or holistic services like mental health and counseling and coaching, which is really important to sustain that kind of work because it's very intimate and deep work that they're doing, regardless of if they're a sex educator or an escort or a tantrika or a dom. It's about really one of the deepest parts of our body. So we want to be there to hold space for them and say, we support you. And it can be just like a business. You can have a secretary. You can have a business manager. You can have an accountant. You can have a lawyer. And you can create a situation by where you're actually treating it as a business. And for me anyway, it's what's really great about that is I feel like when erotic service professionals treat their work as businesses, it'll be a lot easier for us to stand up and say, please legitimize us by changing the laws.
Yeah. And what is that like? I mean, I think a lot of people come, they look at sex work and they think hooker, they think prostitute, they think call girl, streetwalker, and then they have all these horrible names, you know? All those horrible names that anytime a woman acts outside of the good girl bounds, you know, and then they have these horrible names that mean bad things. And that's what, you know, most people think of the words whore and hooker, and those are mean things to call people, you know? And I think people think that how could you want to do sex work because they couldn't imagine doing it because they have, you know, sex negative parenting or they come from religious backgrounds or whatever.
Shame-based.
Fear.
I believe like a lot of the times when people are pointing their fingers, it's because they're scared. Sex is the bit, like to me anyway, in my opinion, your sensual nature is the biggest energy floating around in your body. And it's huge. And for so long, the state, religion, is trying to like block that energy. And we don't learn.
You can only do it in certain circumstances.
Exactly, exactly.
You have to do it with one person and you have to have these babies like this and they have to be related in this very easy to track kind of way. And we have to know who's fucking who.
And sex is all about procreation instead of recreation, which
yeah.
It's a silly notion.
And well, yeah, who really, I mean, how often would we have sex if we only had sex for procreation?
Yeah.
Like, really.
Yeah. And, I mean, we are creators. We are designed to be creators. And I just think if we, I feel like erotic service professionals are like radical sex educators. They are hands-on sex educators, and they know.
Amen, sister.
And I really want to support that. And I want to, you know, in my sex education growing up, I got the techniques, and then I got the shit scared out of me by the STDs.
The cauliflower pictures.
Exactly, yes. Exactly. And I really believe that erotic service professionals are our new sex educators, and I really want to. I really want to support them in becoming authorities and saying, I'm going to teach you like the right technique to make it pleasurable. And I'm going to teach you how to feel just as good grocery shopping as you are having really hot sex. Like, because that's possible. And when you're in that state of pleasure, things like war and conflict
and parking tickets and
it can't happen.
Non-consensually
it can happen.
Right,
when you're feeling
exactly.
Good and pleasure and present in your body.
Amen, sister. Really cool. So it's all about education and holistic services like coaching, helping people with sex worker burnout.
Absolutely. Aftercare. One of the things that I work with is I work with a lot of women who are older and who want to continue the work and how they can continue the work. In it, I mean, it's obvious some aspects of erotic work, it has to do with, like, looks. And so...
Oh, and I imagine it's so much pressure because there are sites that are all about reviews and she looked like this and actually she was like a Barbie doll or something. You know, like, and people can be really harsh on
the internet. But it's interesting because when you do the research about why... men cheat.
Yeah.
They don't cheat, that 75% of them cheat, not because they're dissatisfied with physical looks, they're dissatisfied emotionally. So a lot of the times when you're marketing erotic service, the erotic service profession, it really has a minimal amount to do with how you look and a maximum amount with the experience that you provide.
Sure. Because so. Guys like positive, sexy attention.
Men,
too.
Women, couples, yes.
Yeah, exactly. And there's that whole deal of the girlfriend experience, you know, that it's about creating connection.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Play and just a fun date.
Yeah, that, and I think, you know, there, some of it too, depending on the culture, like it's about uncomplication at times as well.
Oh, sure.
Especially in our world where we're like driven, work. And,
well, and that, and lots of people feel like sex and love have to go together. So many times women will fall in love just because they're having sex because that makes it okay.
Yeah,
like if
exactly.
You love him, it's okay to have sex with him. But it's not okay to have casual sex for many women because they're afraid of being called a slut. Or they're afraid of being called a whore. Which, and of course, then we have to look at why we use those terms for women who are going outside, you know, those very narrow bounds that we set for women.
I feel like we're just experiencing, like, the desire and that we're supposed to be experiencing.
Right.
I like, you know, I actually don't mind those words so much. I kind of like to reclaim
them. Oh, reclaim them,
I'm
girl.
A big old whore.
Seriously. Oh, exactly. And that's the thing when you can, we do that at the supper club all the time, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Slut, how are we doing? Slutty! And it's really nice, you know, because so many times people use words like fag and whore to police our behavior, to shame us and make us feel bad about who we really are. But then, of course, you get to come into the freak community and say, no, what you are is beautiful, and we love the diversity, and we love the sluttiness and the freakiness. And
absolutely.
The, you know, get down with your flaming self.
I know. What I love about it is I feel like it's so sad sometimes that people who like point their fingers and say those names, because I was like, do you have any idea? I live more in like a day than you will ever in a lifetime.
Until you,
you
get
know?
Over that.
Exactly.
And you know, feel free to get over that anytime.
Absolutely.
Because you're really only impressing yourself. I mean, you're the one that's probably also shaming yourself when you're all calling people all these names. You
absolutely.
Know? Yeah. And also, when people are pointing fingers, there's three fingers pointing back at them.
Oh my gosh, my mom says that. She's like, cool. Don't put your finger, because there's always three pointing back at you. Oh my
gosh. That's right, sister. Cool. Well, I want to talk with Tessa a little bit, so hand your headphones over to Tessa. Oh no, it's a pleasure to have you on the show, Donya. We're talking about your ProSource network, and it's like a website and in a community for erotic service professionals. It sounds like it's, you know, dancers and sex workers of all different kinds, people who do maybe higher end sex work as well. And what are some of the classes that you guys are going to teach, and what, like, tell me about some of the workshops and holistic services.
Yeah, we're really interested in providing really exactly what sex workers, well, not sex work, or what erotic service providers want. So I guess we would base it around the client, and the clients are really diverse. So we're talking, like you say, like it's like dancers. It's also like maybe people in the porn industry, and also like escorts and
professional dominatrixes.
Exactly, and
dominance.
Sensual masseurs. So, and also like a very diverse range of people. And so I guess like each kind of sector, those people, like they all have different needs and desires. So I feel like there's, like for example, there's in the tantra community, there's often a desire for people who are interested in learning like shadow play, so they want to learn like SM techniques, but in an environment that is specifically for professional, like erotic service providers.
Sure, and a safer space.
Exactly, yeah. So it's to do with
where they're
like,
not going to be judged.
Right. And it's to do with a network of trust, exactly. There's a network of trust within the community itself. And I also feel like there's often a desire in the erotic service provider, like, community to connect and to be within their community and to talk with people who are having the same issues around, like, maybe, like, relationship, personal, like, intimacy, like, in their own life, like, issues like that. So I feel like it's something that's really important to us is about like supporting the network, the wider community of erotic service professionals, so that the industry as a whole can be supported. So I feel like the educational, the professional development opportunities that we would want to offer would be with that in mind.
It seems like as an erotic service provider, you would have like certain, like you couldn't tell everyone what you did for a living, for instance. And it might feel like, you know, it was hard. It's hard to make a network because you're either competing with someone, you know, or you can't tell them for fear that they would call you out on some sex negative story that they have. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so it must be really nice to have a community of people, even just to have lunch with, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And just talk about things like in your everyday life, like your hobbies and your relationships and your friends and also things that are bugging you at work, you know?
Right. And this guy showed up and he wanted this and I just didn't really want to do that and da-da-da-da-da.
I think it's nice to be able to talk about your direct personal experience without having to like have the whole, like take responsibility for all the weight that society puts on your profession and having to talk about that first for like hours.
Right, totally. How is it okay that you're a sex worker, et cetera, having that again and again and again.
Yeah, like it's nice to be like an educator in the wider cultural society, like with by having that conversation, but it's nice to also choose your time and place for that, right?
Totally.
Like not have to do it every day.
Not have to do it all the time.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, it's really fun to hear about your Pro Source Network. Thank you so much for coming on Sexploration with Monica. We've been talking with Donya, and this is Tessa. Thanks so much for coming on Sexploration with Monica.
Thank you for having us, Monica. We love your show.
Yeah, and it's really fun that you guys have, you know, been coming to the Bondage Dinner, and I see that you're, I think it's salmon tonight, but I left my menu downstairs, but it looks fabulous, so I'll leave you
yummy.
To it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. This is Sexploration with Monica. I'm here talking with Anna. She's an intern at the Supper Club. I just want to give people a little bit of background. You recently came to San Francisco from Sweden, is that right?
Yeah.
How long have you been here?
I've been here for 2.5 months doing my internship here, and it's a part of school, which I go to school in Holland, studying hospitality management. So yeah, it's part of my internship here, and I'm doing a management traineeship. Sales and marketing upstairs in the office, but you also get to go here for dinner and explore everything down here.
And there's a lot to explore, because instead of being like some sort of boring restaurant or whatever, Supper Club is a full club, and they like to push the envelope. You know, they like to have all of your five senses with the four-course dinner and the massage and everything else, but also they do nights like the Bondage Night. Mm-hmm. And it was my impression that you've never tried bondage before, is that right?
No, that was my first bondage night ever, and a lot of first times here in San Francisco, but yeah, that was definitely a cool experience, pushing everything.
So, why did you decide to do it? Why did you decide to do it?
Because I live after the philosophy, try everything once. If I like it, well then go ahead, explore it more. If I don't like it, well you know then I've at least tried it. So, but it was definitely interesting and I felt really safe. I did it with one of my friends here as well, and it was exciting.
Usually, I think people don't want to get tied up, especially in an unfamiliar environment, because when you're tied up, you can't move, you can't get away. If someone does something you don't like, you can't leave, you know, you feel vulnerable. So people like to make sure that they're in a really safe place. Do you remember anything about that night or about maybe Alice, the dominatrix who tied you guys up, that made you feel safe?
Well, it's basically, I feel like everyone is a family here at Supper Club. So I feel like being in this environment just made the experience even better than going to just a random club or another place where I don't know anyone. But I was surrounded with all my colleagues here and, as I said, my friend who I got tied up with. Yeah, it was just, I think it was the best possible scenario to get tied up here for the first time.
Yeah, totally. And they're tying you up to a hot girl, which is your friend.
Exactly, you know? And like, yeah, the girl who tied us up, like she made us feel really comfortable as well, which is important, so.
Yeah, that was Alice. She does a website called Alice in Bondage Land, and she just really strikes me as a really smart, capable person, but then also really focuses on creating a safe space.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, she told me about when you guys were tied up,
you know, how you're both on your high heels and, you know, making sure that you didn't fall over and then making sure that no one was hassling you while you were tied up.
Yeah. No, but she definitely, she also told us, she's like, well, you know what, if I'm doing it too tight or if I'm doing it too much or if it's, if you want to get out, just let me know. And, you know, that's also a bit comfort. And also that she's another woman, I guess.
So at the end of the night and after they untied you, how did you feel? Because I hear a lot of times that that's the best moment. After you are untied, you're like,
Yeah, no, it was definitely like a release of endorphins. It was really exciting.
Yeah,
definitely.
Really exciting.
Yeah. But definitely did a good experience. And I think for everyone who hasn't tried to get tied up yet, like, but a bit pondering whether or not to be tied up or what it's about, like, I think you should try it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you feel safe.
Yeah, exactly. If you can find a safe space to do it and someone that makes you feel comfortable, I think that's the most important part. I mean, if there's anything in you that feels like, this is scary, then don't do it. But like here, you know, we have some attractive people, nice women to tie you up. And so it's really, you know, we like to create a safe space. So. What makes Supper Club different?
I think it's a very intimate environment when you come in here. I mean, everything, like, we have dinner on beds here to start with. And just our staff here who goes the extra, like, everyone has their own personality who brings it to the table. And you have the hostess here, makes everyone feel either really comfortable or just, like, you know, you can be yourself here, which I find really special for a restaurant and the club as well. So everyone's invited here. I mean, people always ask me on the phone because I work with reservations, like, what to expect. And I'm like, well, come here with an open mind. You never know here because everything happens spontaneously, like especially performances as well. You never really know.
It's all about being yourself, spontaneity, letting go of your expectations. Mm-hmm. That's all important stuff, especially in sexuality, you know?
I mean, it's important to be able to be yourself, and I've never really felt that in any other, especially restaurant environment or any other work environment either.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us, Anna. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Monica.
Yeah, thanks for coming on Sexploration with Monica.